on Samach Aleph Lamed Aleph at the top, we finished off the Gemara was discussing whether Shana, what was the term Shana referring to, and the Gemara tried to bring proofs, and once again, as in the Kederach Darko, the Kodesh in the Darim, the Gemara was inconclusive about this, but then it said, by Hashanah, what was the Havamina that you needed Hashanah? The Gemara answered up to teach us that even though he says Hashanah, and you would assume that he goes Achar Rov Hashanim, that he does not include the leap year, nevertheless, Kamash Malan, that when he says Hashanah, he gets to finish off the year with the leap year in it. So now the Gemara says, Amar Yayin She'eni Toleim Yovel. Right, so he uses the Yovel as the defining factor for what will be the duration of the nether. Now just I'll point out here that the Ron says it, but it said this is Ladafka Yovel. Because the Gemara already asks, when you don't have the Heyayidia, and you don't have Yovel Echad, right, the Gemara didn't know what to do with that, right? The Gemara left that bit Tzarchim. So why would the Gemara ask about Yovel if already couldn't conclude that about the word Shana? Right, so then obviously they're not asking about Yovel. They're asking whether if you use HaYovel, you know, or Yovel Echad, what's the status of the Yovel itself? So, just to clarify the question, right, even though it's written with the word Yovel, this is not about the previous question, which is when you write it without the Hayidah, when you say Shana, without the Hayidah. This is rather a question about Yovel in general. What's the status of Yovel? So now, what is this? My. Shnat Chamishim, Kalifne Chamishim. Is the Yovel, I mean, the 50th year, is it like the, does it belong to the previous set of years? Right, or is the Yovel the beginning of the next cycle? Tashma, right? Let's see. Tanya, we have a machlokas pluk to Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanon. Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanon. We kiddashtim et nashnat chamishim shana. That you are mekadesh the 50th year. Shnat chamishim atamoneh v'atamoneh shnat chamishim v'achat. Right, you count it as the 50th year and not as the 51st year. Mikan amru, Yovel eino ola l'minyan shavua. That the Yovel does not count towards the Shemitah cycle. Okay, this is the Shita of the Rabbanan. Right, the Shita of the Rabbanan is your 49-year cycle. That is seven cycles of seven Shemitot. Then you have a Yovel, which is the 50th year. And then, after the 50th year, you begin to count another cycle of 49. That's what the Chachamim say. That's the Pasuk means. It's not Chamishim. Chamishim means it's the 50th year. That's the concluding year. And then you don't count 51. It doesn't literally mean 51, but that is not in the enumeration of the next Shemitah cycle. And that if it was the first year of the next cycle, then the next year would be number 2. And that would be the equivalent of saying like 50, 51, meaning they would be counting towards something. No, 50 is an end point, and it doesn't count towards the next cycle. That's
so where do we get... Where do they get from that? Yovelina Ola the Minyan Shavua. Mikanam.
Well, because it's not part of it. Since the Chamishim, since the 50th year, the Yovel itself does not count towards any cycle, right? By definition, right? It doesn't mean that if you count as the 50th year, and not 50, then 51, which means it's part of a cycle, meaning 50, 51, 52, 53, means that it's the beginning.
Terminal year.
Right, it is. Right, it's a terminal, but it stands alone. Not only is it a terminal year, but it stands alone.
After the seventh Shemitah year of the Yovel cycle, then you have the Yovel year.
Right.
And then you start in the Shemitah cycle.
Of seven, right.
Starting with one.
We can see whose opinion is not like this, but that's the Chachamim's opinion.
So it's...
That's a good question. That's not so clear.
Because how do we know when the correct Shemitah years are now?
Right.
We don't know when Yovel is.
But it's not actually not a problem right now because we don't count the Yovel right now.
Then the year is in the Shemitah. When you don't
Shemitah just Shemitah keeps on cycling, right. The big problem comes up is if we start reaching Shemitah D'oraisa. And Shemitah D'oraisa comes when you have the Rov Yoshveha Aleha. When the robe of Klal Yisrael are found in Eretz Yisrael. So whereas this last Shemitah, it's not there, could be in the upcoming Shemitahs, in the next Shemitah, or the Shemitah after that, we are on the borderline that we could be Rov Yoshveha Aleha, which could lead to major machlokas, because someone's going to have to make a determination that Rov Yoshveha Aleha, right? And then you could have machlokas whether we are there or not, which will then determine whether you start counting a Yovel cycle, one. And number 2 is then you have the same machlokas here. You have another machlokas, which is the Rabban and Rabbi Huda, whether Yovel is Olu Luminion or ain't Olu Luminion. And so you can end up with numerous counts. Whereas today, which is an amazing thing, a Klai Yisrael are Muskum Lakol, the Shemitah is actually when it does happen. It was not clear in the Middle Ages that what the count was. There were three or four different Shitos of when Shemitah was. Even the Rambam, who basically defers to the Shemitah that we have today, says that he, in his Masorah, he has a different Shemitah, but he doesn't want to, you know, or he thinks the Shemitah is a different year, but he doesn't want to back away. He doesn't want to undermine the Masorah of what the Shemitah was. So today we write, but today it's only Midrabanan Shemitah. So the fact that everybody agrees, first of all, it's amazing that everybody agrees. That's one. And number two is...
They probably just don't realize that it's the potential subject for my holocaust. For sure someone would.
Yeah, so they have, and then on the other hand, they have that it's the Rabbanon, which makes it much easier. Because then everybody can, even if it's a mistake, and it's not as big a deal, because we're dealing with a mistake of the Rabbanon. Once Shemitah becomes Deoraisa, then it becomes much a bigger issue about when exactly Shemitah should fall. And then again, the Yovel will start becoming an issue. Alright, so Rabbanon believe that Yovel is the 50th year. It's equivalent of counting the Sfira. And then Shavuos, which is the 50th day of the Sfira, right? So the 49 days. And then there's a Yovel after the 49 days, right? Which is Shavuot, the equivalent of Shavuot. And then had this been the equivalent by Sfira, you would start counting another Sfira from the day after, Shavuot. Alright, so now Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yovel Olo Luminion Shavua. So Rabbi Yehuda argues on the Chamin, Rabbi Yehuda believes that Yovel is the first year of the next Shemitah cycle. So yes, Yovel comes after 49 years of a cycle, but it is now Oleh, it is the first year of the subsequent cycle. Right? So that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Yovel is year one of the next Shemitah cycle. So Amar Lo Rabbi Yehuda, Ari Omer, Sheishan Im Tizra Sadecha, Vein Kana L'Chamesh. Right, when it talks about Shavuot, it says that for 6 years you'll plant your field, right, and then the seventh year will be Shabbat Hashem. But according to you, when the Yovel is the first year of the Shemitah cycle, then you're going to have Yovel where you can't plant, 5 years of planting, and then Shavuot. So it doesn't fit the Torah's description of what Shavuot is. It's 6 years of work, 1 year of rest. So where it says, Amalhem, L'divrechem, Hari Omer. Now what are you going to do with what your opinion is? That Hashem will give you in the sixth year, on the year that it's a Yovel, He'll give you food or crops for 3 years. What do you need crops for 3 years for? So say you're in the 48th year, which is the sixth year of a Shemitah cycle. You're in the 48th year. You're now going to need crops to cover the 49th year, which is Shemitah. Right? You're going to need another year for the Yovel, right? And an additional year, right, to till the harvest of the subsequent year, of the 51st year. Right, so you need that for, so as the 12, the Shlosh Hashanim, Harikan Arba. But now, if you have a, what? If you have a Yovel that comes after Shemitah, you're going to need it for 4 years. Now, truthfully, this question applies to
the year itself.
Right, the sixth year itself. Right, very good. So you have that. So now, truthfully, this question is on Rabbi Yehuda himself also. Because Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you have a Shemitah and then a Yovel. Right, so even he agrees that there's 4 years in a row that you're going to need tevuah, but he's posing it as a question of the chachamim, but it's really a question of himself. But he's making a point, and we'll see what his point is in a second. So again, what's Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says that generally you need tevuah for 3 years. He says that Hashem will bless you in the Shemitah, but tevuah for 3 years. What are the 3 years? For the sixth year, the seventh year, and then the eighth year, which is the beginning of a new cycle until the harvest comes in. So that's normally the case, 3 years. But when you have a Yovel, you really need 4 years worth of crops. Why is that? Because you'll have it the sixth year that you need crops for. Then you'll need it for the seventh year, which is Shemitah. Then you'll need for the Yovel. Then you'll need for the first year of the next cycle, right, until it's harvested. So that's 4 years. So if the pasuk says you need, it's going to be 3 years, how come here we need it for 4 years? So what's the answer? And this is the point that he's making. Obviously, the bracha that they're speaking about here is about talking about the other six Shemitahs in this cycle. And so too, Dilinami, right? Also, Ikalukma Bashar Shnei Shavuot. When you ask me, well, what, 6 years you work, seventh year is Shemitah, right? That's also the same thing. That's all the other six cycles. It's not, that's the generic Shemitah cycle. There'll be one cycle that doesn't look like that. And same too, here, like the bracha for the crops, that'll be for 3 years and not for 4 years, it needs to be for 4 years. That's because it's dealing with the generic Shemitah cycle again, where it's the 6 years and then seven, you need three. Oh, the one time that it's Yovel, that's not the Torah was describing. That's not what it was dealing with. All right. So again, the machlokas then will determine what is Chamishim. According to Chachamim, clearly Chamishim, the Yovel belongs to the previous cycle. And therefore, if one takes a neder, it'll be included in the previous cycle. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Chamishim is the beginning of the new cycle. It's the first year in the new cycle. So therefore, Yovel will be the equivalent of Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Chodesh, where it belongs to the upcoming month or the upcoming year. Yovel will also belong to the upcoming cycle, because it's the first year of the new cycle. So that will be the answer to your question about when you say Yovel, is Yovel included in your neder or not included in your neder? That depends. What does it depend on? That machlokus, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. All right. Ada Pesach Asur. So this is in our Mishnah. It was the last couple lines in our Mishnah. So Mishnah gives three examples. It says, Ad HaPesach, until Pesach, really means until Pesach comes, before Pesach. Ad Shi Hei Pesach, until Pesach has been, that means after Pesach, until the end of Pesach. The only question we had was, Ad Pnei HaPesach. If you say Pnei HaPesach, does that mean, what does Pnei HaPesach mean? Does it mean until after Pesach, or does it mean until before Pesach? And that turned out to be a machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. So Gemara's going to discuss this. I can't pass on this. Remember, the Rabbi Meir Savar Lo Mile Inchei Nafshi L'Sneika. So it seems to be Rabbi Meir was of the opinion when you say Ad Pnei HaPesach, it means until Pesach, right? Until before Pesach. Rabbi Meir, that people will not enter themselves into a suffix. Because why? Pnei HaPesach can mean, again, we explained this on the Mishnah, that the Ron explains that Pnei HaPesach can mean one of three things. It can either mean Pnei HaPesach mean until before Pesach. It can mean Pnei HaPesach mean until the end of Pesach, until a minute before the end, means Pnei HaPesach. Or Pnei HaPesach can mean until the last days of Pesach, meaning that halfway through Pesach. So there, you have a suffix about the Lashon Pnei, what Pnei HaPesach means. When a person says Pnei HaPesach, is he, when he takes such a neder, does he mile into the sveika? Does he put himself in a position where it's uncertain about what the meaning is? And that means that he'll have to keep all the way to the end of Pesach. Or does a person only accept what is clearly defined in the term? If Pnei HaPesach, you know for sure, until Pesach you are for sure asur. And that's all a person will restrict themselves in. So it seems to Rabbi Meir that a person will not enter themselves into this state where they're uncertain about what the meaning of the word is. They will only, when they take a neder, they only mean it to be, right, functional, or they only mean it to be efficacious in the sense that it reaches the point where for certainty the neder is chal. And we know until Pesach for sure the neder is chal. That's what Rabbi Meir says. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi so far, mile into after the stake. Yossi says, no, people do put themselves into a sub. If that's the case, then when he takes the neder, he's got to be chosesh for the neder until the end of Pesach. So Remini, is that really true? Mishyesh lo shnei kitei banot. Person who has two wives, and from each of these wives he has two daughters, or at least two daughters. It's called, right, so now, and he married these wives subsequently to each other, or they were born, the daughters were born in first, the first wife had two daughters, then the second wife had two daughters. Right, so now, yesh kitei banot b'shnei nashim. Amar kidashtit biti hagdola. Says, I married off my oldest daughter. Venudea im gdolash begolot. What is my old, or I married off my older daughter. Right? Probably the right word, not oldest, but older daughter. And Venudea, what does it mean, older daughter? Does it mean gdolash begolot, meaning the bechora, right? The oldest daughter that I have, the first of the older daughters. Im gdolash begolot, or is it the oldest daughter of the second wife? Right? Or im tanish begolot, or is it the second daughter of the first wife who is older than all the daughters of the second wife? So you're uncertain here. There's uncertainty about which one, when he makes a reference to Gedolah, Gedolah is a subjective term, right? When you say HaGedolah, if you use the Hei Adiyah, HaGedolah, the oldest, right? The oldest, that is obviously who you're speaking about. When you say Gedolah, older is a relative term. As long as you're older than one other person, then you are a Gedolah, right? The only one who we don't have any suffix about is Biktana Shibiktanot. Right, the youngest daughter is clearly not older because she's not older than anyone else. Says when it says, "Any yodea im gdolash v'gdolot, im gdolash v'tanot, v'im tanash v'gdolot, she gdola min gdolash v'tanot." Kulan asurot divrei Rabbi Meir. All of them are asur. I mean, all of them are considered safek kiddushin, except for this is according to Rabbi Meir.
Except for the youngest, right?
Except for the youngest, because clearly, even if you say that it's a relative term, older, doesn't include, she's not older than anybody, so there's nothing to be talking about. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kulan Mutarot, Lutzvinak Dolash Gdolot. Since they're all Mutar, except for the oldest of the oldest, because it's clear that when he said Gdolah, he wouldn't have put himself in that. So what do you see from this? What do you see from this? That Rebbe Meir says people do put themselves into a suffix. Because here this guy married off his oldest daughter, or older daughter, and now he has three daughters who are suffix kedushin. And Rebbe Yossi says no. When a person says gedolah, he's going to do something, he's only going to speak about a term that is well defined, and that would be the gedolah shem gedolah, because that's the only one where we know for sure that he would have defined it. Otherwise, it would be anybody. It could be any of his daughters except his youngest. So, that's the exact opposite of what we have in our mission. In our mission, Rebbe Meir says a person doesn't put himself into suffix, and Rebbe Yossi says he does. So now you have Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yossi arguing in a different context, and their opinions are flipped. So what does the Gemara always do? In this case, their shitot are backwards. Right? Right? And we have a braisa. Right? This is a... Right? Yeah, we do have this in the Gemara also, Binikuta, right? That the Gemara says that time.
Usually if it's a price of support was said, then it's Tanya Nami Hafi.
Right, although the Gemara does. I mean, you have it. Right, although the... you will see it there. I mean, in the Babli, I wouldn't say this is not unique to the Dharma. I mean, the Babli and other places, the Vahatanya, the Old Rishon, you'll see Rashi Avin Kami and Binikusa. Right, that means that it's an answer, and here too. Minichusa, it's an answer. This is a support for this. Zaklau, koshes manu kavua. Anything that has a fixed time, b'amar ad. Then when he says ad, it means lifnei. In our case, ad pesach means until before the pesach.
Amar ad lifnei. And is that what he says?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, he said ad lifnei, or he says pnei. I'm sorry. You're right. If he says ad or pnei, then Rabbi Meir Omer actually would say until it leaves, until the end of it, which is the opposite of what he says in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Omer actually agi until it comes, meaning until beforehand, is the opposite of their opinions in our Mishnah. But consistent with, if you flip their opinions in our Mishnah, then it's consistent with the other Mishnah that we had brought by Kiddushin. So again, that's in the end, we're going to flip Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi Shita. Rabbi Meir believes in our Mishnah here. So Rabbi Meir believes you can be Ma'alinish L'Sveika, a person puts himself in a suffix. So Yossi believes a person does not put himself in a suffix. And that turns out now it is, what? This turns out to be a Machlokas Rishonim, how to paskin. Because the Gemara in Kiddushin actually answers this problem differently. So here the Gemara flips the Shita, Machlokas the Shita. But in Kiddushin, the Gemara has, right, that it's a different answer. And because of that, the poskim come up with different conclusions here. Mm-hmm. Right?
So, it's easier to just keep us like over here saying that.
Right. So now, well, first of all, you're going to say, so you look in the Ran, we'll just read it quickly in the Ran, why not? The Ran in the wide top, in the wide lines, right, just say, two, three lines down in the wide lines, it says, Kevin the Haksugya, right? Say, Kevin the Haksugya. Since this sugya was mentioned in Nedarim, makes more sense to Somech on it. Here we're talking about Nedarim, we're flipping the Mishnah in Nedarim, and it's found in Masechet Nedarim. So you would think that that would be a, you know, overwhelming evidence that this is the right conclusion of the Gemara. My sugya dasam, the la b'duchta itmar, better than the sugya in Kiddushin, which has a different conclusion of not being b'klev d'shita. Right? Oh, the Ha'atani Kihak Sugya. And also on top in our Sugya here, we have a Braisa that supports flipping the opinions. Right? Who does Rabbi Moshe Bar Maimon? That is the Tzak of the Rambam. Rambam follows our Shita here. And therefore, what? Therefore, he paskins when we have a Machlokas, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yossi. Who do we paskin like? We paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So he paskins like Rabbi Yossi, but the flipped Rabbi Yossi. Right? Rabbi Yossi, when the Shita is Mukhlefet. Right, because Rabbi Yair and Rabbi Yossi, the halacha is to Rabbi Yossi.
So Rabbi Yossi even with Rabbi Rabbi, right?
Huh? This is Rabbi Meir. This is just...
this one's an easy one, but I think we'd say Rabbi Yossi even against...
I don't recall. And it doesn't come to me right away, but Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, the law is like Rabbi Yossi. So now, if we flip the Shita, then Rabbi Yossi is Ajigia Pesach. The Gemara in Kiddushin says that their machlokas is bespekos, but over here in the Gemara, they're just arguing the Lishna Ba'alma. That's how they answer the Gemara, like basically, Lashon B'nei Adam. They're basically arguing about Lashon B'nei Adam. If that's the case, then Rabbi Yossi remains with the opinion, when he says Ad Pesach, it means until Pesach is totally finished. So if you pass like the conclusion of the Gemara Kedushin, then you pass like Rabbi Yossi, and you would say that when you say after Pesach means until Pesach is over. If you hold like our Gemara that flips the sheet, then you pass like Rabbi Yossi, then after Pesach means until before Pesach. So the Rambam passes like our conclusion, our sugya, because he says that it's grounded. This is the Darim. We're flipping it. We have a bracer that supports it. Let's pass it that way, right? Whereas the Ramban does not. Pasak sugya d'atam, right? Aval, he says, Aval Rav, Ravinu Moshe Bar Nachman, Ramban, Zachman Avar Pasak sugya d'atam. The low tibuch, Rabbi Yossi Amar, Ad Pnei Asur, Ad Shiyat Sevin Akhtin and Kavatei.
He passes like him. You say like we use an underdarm, if the person says, no, I mean, until before Pesach,
right? Yeah.
We accept that that's
if it's we saw this earlier in the Masechta, that if it's a term that has a, that could possibly be interpreted that way, and he says that's if it's a plausible interpretation, we say yes.
Seems right. To me that it's the most plausible.
Right, but he said he didn't know. That's the point. Like, but right. It's actually a BT. I didn't know which one I was Mekadesh, right?
Right. The BT, I can see that's. It seems like a much more potential because it seems much more legitimate to say by the older daughter, all those are ones you can see in context,
but he was
legitimately saying older daughter.
Yeah, but he married off his older daughter. What was he thinking when he married off his older daughter?
I mean,
the fact that he didn't have anybody in mind, that's a little strange.
I can understand the confusion more there, but to me, if someone says, I want this until Pesach.
Well, it's Pesach.
I mean, no, so not until Pesach, until before Pesach.
Well, it's not before. He didn't say lifnei for sure is not a problem. It's before Pesach. We're talking about the word pnei. Lifnei means before. Shehei means afterwards. The only machlokes is pnei. What does pnei Pesach mean? They changed the girsa. The girsa in the Gemara is lifnei, but I don't think that everyone changes. You look in the Rishon, in the Rosh, the Ran, all change the girsa to read pnei. Okay. He says achi agia means until it comes. Achi hey means afterwards. And then the Gemara wants to know what pnei Pesach means, not lifnei Pesach. Because lifnei Pesach, I think you're right, would maybe make too much sense. Look, all of your souls change it to Pnei HaPesach, the Rosh, the Ran, everybody changes it. Okay? Alright, new Mishnah. Alright, Ada Katsir. If he says until the harvest, Ada Batsir, Ada Mesik. Right? These are all types of harvests. The Katsir is for grains, Batsir is for grapes, right? And Mesik is for the term that's used for Zeitim, for olives. Right? He says until any one of these time periods, then it's only until we reach those time periods. Zaklau, this is the principle. Kosh is manakavua. Anything that has a fixed time, Ramad ad shiagia asur achiagia, then he's asur until it becomes. Amar achiehe, if he says until it has been, asur achiete, until it's over. Whichever doesn't have a fixed time, which is our case here. The harvest does not have a fixed time, as a general vicinity, but not a fixed time, and therefore, whether you say achiehei, or whether you say ad, right, ad chietze, it means until we get there, until we get to that beginning of that season. Right? So that's the harvest season. Right, if he says until the kites, or until the kites will have been, that means until the people are bringing in their baskets. Now, what is the kites? Kites is not, we think of kites being summer, right? Kites here is a reference to the te'anim, right? That's the time of bringing in the te'anim. What's the kites? Right, that's actually muksa, right, comes from this term, right, the same word as muksa. Muksa was something where you placed the figs to dry. You used to place them on the roof, and you were mekatzed them, meaning that you disengaged from them in order that they would dry. So that's one possibility what the word kayitz means. Kayitz means that someone who is mekatzed his back from it. He leaves it alone, they go out to dry. That's what kayitz means. The other possibility, which is brought down here.
It sounds bad, right? Or
that's the... There's also Ketzem Mizbeach.
The Mizbeach is not doing anything else.
Right. So I was thought, you can mean, the Gemara there says it's the desserts. Ketz means desserts, right. Or Kayetz, right, when it's Batel, when it's nothing doing, which could also be a reference to Muksa. I mean, again, Muksa is something that a Katzeh, a person leaves, nothing's doing. Right. And you're not doing anything with the you're disengaged from the pigs, you're not doing anything with them. That's all I did, Kayetz. And even today, summertime is lazy time, meaning it's a time that you're not engaged. Okay, so I think they all run from the same shorish, right? All right. Now the other possibility, which Rabbi Shimon do bring down here, the word kayitz has to do with the muktzaot, which are the utensils that are used to cut up the figs. Right, so the kayitz is not from, well, yeah, k'tiyos teinim, right, exactly, is what we call from the k'tiyos teinim. And that's a reference to the, that's what the Ran says here, they say that it's a reference to the knife or the, they use some sort of like hatchet almost to cut it up, right?
My grave.
Right, it's saw even, right, to cut them, right?
But again, the grave they use to cut
for cheese, right, the bela and for cheese, but all similar types of items where it was, these things when they got, where they were left out to dry and they got stuck together, they were, you know, bulky. They weren't, it wasn't like you just came and picked a couple up. You had to cut them up, right? You had to cut them or chop them. So k'tiyot, or here, where they, before they dried them out, they split them open sometimes in order that they would dry out well. Right? So these, I mean, k'tiyot, where kayitz would be the utensil used to cut them open, right? So that's just, anyway, etymology maybe of the word kayitz. When is that? That's when the people start bringing in the baskets full of the tainim to dry them. Until the kites has been done, that's until they have kafal, right, needs to fold up, until they put away the knives, right, until they put away the utensils used for the tainim, then you know that the kites is over. Okay? Tana. Kalkalash amru, kalkalash tainim, below kalkalash anavim. When they said a basket here, bringing in baskets, they were talking about bringing in baskets of figs, not bringing in baskets of grapes. Tanya, hanoder mi perot hakayitz, someone who takes a nether from the fruits of the summer, ein asur ela b'tainim. What is the fruit of the summer? What is referred to as the kayitz? That is the tainim. Rabbi Shimon Omer Omer, anavim b'chval tainim. Grapes are a subset of figs. So my time in the Tanakhama, what's the reason of the Tanakhama? Kasabra Tainim Miktatsam Biyada, Anavim Lamktatsam Biyada. They are harvested in a different way. Right? Tainim are cut, are picked by hand. And you pluck them off by hand. Anavim are, you use a knife to cut off. I mean, the clusters of grapes. Right? If you pick up, anybody's, have you ever picked grapes? If you were to pick grapes by your hand, right, if you start twisting the clusters, the grapes start falling off the clusters and you lose a large number of grapes. So what you do is you take a knife, the stem that holds the clusters on are pretty strong, and you twist, like you would do with an apple or anything else, by the time you finish twisting, half your cluster is gone because they can't handle that type of handling. Right, so what you do is you take a scissor or a knife and you cut the stem and then you get the whole cluster off. Whereas by a date, you're picking off, right, singular individual dates, and therefore you pluck it with your hand and it does not affect the other dates around. So that's what he says. He says that they are two different categories. They're two different, you can't say one's a subset of the other because they are picked differently. They are harvested differently. One by kli, one by a knife or scissors, and one by hand. Right, so he says that, what? The same thing, that grapes at some point also start to look like, what? Look like dates. And when's that? When the grapes get very ripe, right? So then, when they're very ripe, then they fall off the eshkol, right? Meaning that you pick them by hand. Instead of cutting the whole cluster from the top, at that point, if you just rub the, you could just put a basket below and you could just touch the cluster and everything would fall off the cluster right into the basket below. And so there are points in time where you no longer need a knife or a scissor to remove the grapes from the clusters because they fall off very easily. They come off just by touching them and therefore you could take them off. Whereas at the point earlier on, when the stems are still hard and they're still tightly on the clusters, tightly packed on the clusters, if you were to rub them off your hand, some of them would come off, but you could still have a whole bunch left and you can't get them off. So that's not an efficient way to pick them, you cut the cluster. Whereas later on in the harvest, right, when the grapes are very ripe, the stems actually dry up. Once the stems start to dry up, you can get the grapes off very easily and they'll all come off and you can pick them by hand. You wouldn't need a scissor or a knife anymore. So Rebbe says, so there's a point in time where grapes look very much like figs. They're harvested in the same way. And therefore, anavim are a subset of grapes when it comes to talking about the harvest. So therefore, kalkala can be either kalkala shell, baskets of grapes, or baskets of figs, because they are both within the same general framework of harvest. All right, we'll stop here.